Good morning and welcome. This morning we're going to continue our series, Keep Looking Up. This message I've entitled Purpose in Pain. We're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 10. This life we live is filled with issues. Even as Christians, this new life we live can be a challenge to navigate. It's easy for life to get you down. So, in our walk with Jesus Christ, we need to keep looking up. We must say no to anxiety and rather focus on the good things of the Lord. In the face of many obstacles, we must work to keep our passion for ministry alive. It's also important to realize there is a purpose in the pain and the suffering we deal with in the Christian life. And lastly, we must keep our focus on the goal of this new life in Christ in sharp view. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this encouragement from your word. And Father, as we consider just how you use pain often in our lives for your purpose, Father, I pray that you would show us, encourage us, guide us, that we might truly become your witnesses in this world, truly messengers for your kingdom, truly ambassadors with the good news of Jesus Christ and his salvation. Father, we just commit this all to you for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While accepting an award, the late comedian Jack Benny said, "I really don't deserve this. But I have arthritis and I don't deserve that either." Here are some actual responses from comment cards given to the staff members at Bridger Wilderness Area in Wyoming. Comment cards. Trails need to be wider so people can walk while holding hands. Trails need to be reconstructed to avoid trails that go uphill. Too many bugs and leeches and spiders and spider webs. Please spray the wilderness to rid the areas of these pests. Pave the trails so they can be snowplowed during the winter. Chairlifts need to be placed so we can see the wonderful views without having to hike to them. The coyotes made too much noise at night and kept me awake. Please eradicate these annoying animals. A small deer came into my camp and stole my jar of pickles. Is there a way I can get reimbursed? Reflectors need to be placed on the trees every 50 feet so that people can hike at night with flashlights. Escalators would help on steep uphill sections. A McDonald's would be nice at the trailhead. The place where trails do not exist are not well marked. Too many rocks in the mountains. Listen, in general, we don't like pain. We try to avoid the slightest discomfort. We reject the suggestion that it might be good for us. And yet, many of life's important lessons are taught in the classroom of suffering. Whether you're suffering through a quiz at school, dealing with the pain of disease, or the heartbreak of grief. Let's look at our text and let's see what Paul has to say about all this as God's apostle. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, let's read our text, beginning at verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will gladly boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. First thing to consider is pain happens. Logically, God would reward those who do good with less pain, right? After all, those who do church ministry, missionaries, church planters, and pastors work for God. Isn't it a good idea when in your power to take special care of those who work for you? Paul didn't get a pass from the pain. He was the clear leader of the evangelistic movement among Gentiles. And yet he had to endure with an incredible amount of pain. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 down to verse 29. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rod. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily. My deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? A thorn in the flesh, he said. A thorn in the flesh. How bad was that pain? Well, let me tell you how bad it was. It was straight from hell bad. It was a messenger from Satan to torment him, to torment Paul as he ministered for the Lord. Paul asked God to remove the pain. He may have explained to God why it would be a good idea to remove the pain. He could plant more churches. He could write more letters. He could win more converts. He could mentor more disciples. On three occasions, Paul asked God for a miracle of his own. Please, God. Please, God. Please, God. No, Paul. Jesus knew pain. Of all kinds of pain. Weeping at the tomb of Lazarus. And weeping over unrepentant Jerusalem. He knew the physical pain of the cross and the pain of betrayal by one of his inner circle. He experienced rejection and he experienced disappointment just like any one of us. Someone said, pain is a part of life. It starts with a good slap to a baby's bottom and goes downhill from there. Pain happens. The question is, will you find the positives in your pain? Second, pain has a purpose. This is a tough theological point. We don't want to callously cause even more pain to someone who suffers. So don't lightly explain that someone's pain is a work of God. One of the common errors made by Christians is to tell other believers who are suffering that God won't give them more than they can bear. You know, that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, is about avoiding temptation. It's not about overcoming pain. The purpose of pain is essentially a self-study course. During pain that won't leave, you might be able to discover the purpose your pain has. That process leads to maturity. There are lessons that can be learned only in the classroom of suffering. And only the student can make the discovery. Paul concluded for himself that his thorn was meant to keep him from becoming conceited about his miraculous life and ministry. Just consider the positives that Paul may have come to realize and demonstrated in his letters. In Philippi, Paul and Silas were beaten in public and taken away to the town dungeon. The next day, news of the jailer's conversion would have become known. During the beating the day before, Paul and Silas must have been calling out their prayers to God, begging for relief. The relief didn't come. But the message of Christ exploded in that city. In a large part, because of the unfair suffering that they experienced. In Ephesus, Paul had what might have been his most successful ministry anywhere. Preaching there for more than 2 years until all who lived in the province of Asia heard the gospel. Suddenly, thousands of people packed a local theater and screamed their disapproval of the message that was threatening the worship of Artemis, one of the most important economic engines of the city. Though Paul never got to preach to the crowd, you can bet thousands of people heard details of the gospel that day. But Paul only knew the pain of having to leave his home and ministry in a hurry. It takes a tremendous step of faith to pray to a God who allows the suffering and say, God, I don't know the purpose of this pain, but I trust you to have a purpose in it. Pastor and author Ron Mell battled leukemia for more than 20 years before dying in 2003. He brought firsthand insight to Payne's purpose in the life of Joseph in his book, Meeting God at a Dead End. From Joseph's point of view, there was a time in his life when every angle of life showed nothing but pain. Sold by his own brothers, betrayed by his employer's wife, forgotten by friends in prison, and seemingly ignored by God, who had promised him a position of leadership and power. We can tell the story in a minute or two. But for Joseph, time was moving painfully slow. More than a dozen years. Mel wrote, "That's a long time to spend in a waiting room. That's a long time to spend parked on a dead end." As it turned out, God was very much at work. Right in the middle of the pain. God was working in the courts of Egypt. God was working in the weather patterns that circled the globe. God was working in his brothers' lives. And most importantly, God was working in Joseph's heart. There are no guarantees for any of us, even for those who minister for the Lord faithfully. Pain happens, but for those who search for pain's purpose, there is one more thing. Third, pain has a power. Jesus told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength or power is made perfect in weakness." Paul received revelation, but didn't hear directly from God very often. Paul was saved about 5 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus on the road to Damascus. It was a miraculous experience, complete with God's voice. After that, Paul had an experience in Jerusalem. He saw the Lord speaking while in a trance. In Acts 22:17, "Now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I was in a trance." At least 16 years passed before Paul had another recorded experience. And another 6 years before the next. And according to the record of Acts, there was never another one. Paul also had a vision of a man from Macedonia in Acts 16:9, and an angel of the Lord in Acts 27:23 and 24. He may have had other encounters, but Luke only tells about these. It's fair to say that for most of Paul's pain, Jesus didn't show up personally. Peter had only two such experiences, according to Luke's history. Stephen also had a miraculous experience from the Lord just before he died. They must have suffered often in silence. And they must have wondered many times why God would allow it, just like we do. Paul decided he was fine with the pain. If Christ's power was upon him in the pain, that he would rather experience Jesus' strength than relief. "For when I am weak, then I am strong," he said. And that's the power of pain. Have you ever noticed that people listen to those in pain with a special intensity, with a special focus? People watch those who are hurting to see what matters most to them. if the pain is great enough, you'll find out where the strength of a person really lies. You'll see the character on the inside. It's rocky getting up off that mat one more time. In real life, it's a wounded soldier coming home still proud of the uniform and the duty that cost him so much. And in the New Testament, it's Paul crawling out from underneath a pile of rocks in Lystra, dusting himself off, and eventually heading to Derbe. When we see passion amid such pain, we're impacted. Pain happens. Pain has a purpose. And pain has power. Few jewels capture the eye quite like a perfect pearl. Do you know how the pearl came to be? In the beginning, it's only a grain of sand. That tiny little irritant slipped inside the tight seal of an oyster's shell and immediately causes discomfort. With no way to expel the grain of sand, with no way to ease the pain, the oyster coats the sand with a layer of inner lining of the shell to make the sand smooth. This still does not ease the oyster's suffering. Again and again, the oyster coats the sand, but all the attempts to get rid of the irritant have no effect. As far as an oyster is concerned, what we call a pearl is nothing more than great suffering. One day, the oyster is fished from the water and is opened. The gem inside has amazing beauty and value, all because the oyster had great suffering. Someone wrote, "It's no accident that the 12 gates of the New Jerusalem in Revelation in 21:21 are made of pearls. It's the suffering of our Savior Jesus Christ that provided for the gates to be there in the first place. More than likely, all who enter those gates will have known the personal experience of suffering." Amen. Do you? Have you? Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that we do need to suffer for Christ's sake. And if suffering causes the message of Christ to become stronger and brighter, then like your servant Paul, we should be willing and ready to suffer for his sake, for your glory. Father, I just pray that everyone who's watching or listening to this message would be impacted with the realization that suffering is a part of this Christian life, just as suffering is a part of this physical life. Father, I just pray that you would do business with your people for your glory and for your praise. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You have a great day.